Today's podcast of In Conversation with God on the Relevant Radio app is brought to you by ScepterPublishers.org. Scepter Publishers brings you the finest in Catholic spiritual reading. For more information, go to ScepterPublishers.org.
Today's reading from In Conversation with God is for Tuesday of the fifth week of Easter. The topic is, My Peace I Give You. Part 1. The Lord gives His peace to His disciples. The Gospel of today's Mass relates one of the promises our Lord made to His apostles at the Last Supper, a promise which became a reality after the resurrection. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Later on, at the same supper, He repeated, I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, after the resurrection, our Lord stands in the midst of the apostles and says to them, Pax Vobis, peace be with you. Our Lord would have spoken those words with that warm voice of His, which the apostles knew so well. His friendly greeting dispelled the fear and the shame the apostles felt after the cowardly way they had behaved during His passion. Our Lord's greeting and His warm expression recreates that personal atmosphere in which He communicates His peace to them. To wish one another peace was the way Jews usually greeted one another. The apostles continued this custom, as we see in their letters, and so did the early Christians, as can be seen in many inscriptions dating back to that period. The Church uses the same greeting in the liturgy on certain occasions. Before Holy Communion, for example, the priest wishes peace to the people, because peace is a prerequisite in order to share worthily in the holy sacrifice. Pax Domini, the peace of the Lord. Over the centuries, Christians put more meaning into their words of greeting, making them more spiritual. Supernatural outlook permeated the lives of the people, and its positive influence can be seen in generation after generation. Those greetings are an external sign of a society which had a Christian heart. In today's world, we seem to be losing that supernatural outlook in the greetings we use. But it could be very helpful to our interior life to try to give a Christian tone to our greetings of welcome and farewell. It would add to our sense of the presence of God in our lives. If we develop the habit, for example, of greeting the guardian angel of the people we meet, it will be easier for us to raise our dealings with them to a higher level. It would be a consequence of the presence of God dwelling in our soul. Let us strive not to lose supernatural outlook in the ordinary things of each day. Peace be with you, our Lord said to them. In the words of St. Gregory Nazianzen, we should be ashamed if we are not using that greeting of peace which our Lord left us when we are about to depart from this world. But whatever our normal greeting may be, it can always be an occasion to live our fraternity with others better, to pray for them, to bring them peace and joy, as our Lord did with His disciples. For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. In the words of St. John Paul II, this joy of Elizabeth reminds us of what a treasure a greeting is when it comes from a heart which is filled with God. How often the shadows of loneliness engulfing a soul can be blown away by the light and warmth of a smile or of a pleasant word. Part 2. True Peace, the Fruit of the Holy Spirit. In the mouth of our Lord, the ordinary Jewish greeting takes on its deepest meaning, because peace was one of the messianic gifts par excellence. When bidding farewell to somebody who had done some good, our Lord often said, "Go in peace." He entrusts a mission of peace to his disciples. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." To desire peace for others and to foster it in our surroundings is a great human good, and when it is inspired by charity, it is also a great supernatural good. When our soul is at peace, it is a clear sign that God is close to us. Besides, it is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul frequently exhorted the first Christians to live peaceful and happy lives. Agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. True peace is the result of holiness, the result of the struggle not to allow our love to be smothered by our disordered tendencies and our sins. When we love God, the soul is like a good tree, which is known by its fruits. Our actions reveal the presence of the Paraclete, and insofar as they cause spiritual joy, they are called fruits of the Holy Spirit. One of these fruits is the peace of God, which passes all understanding. The true peace that Christ desired for the apostles and for Christians of every era. In the words of St. Jose Maria, "When God comes to you, you will feel the truth of these greetings. My peace I give to you. Peace I leave you. Peace be with you." And you will feel it even in the midst of troubles. St. Augustine describes true peace as tranquility in order, order between God and ourselves, order within ourselves, and order in our relationships with others. If we live that threefold order, we will have peace, and we will transmit peace to others. Order towards God means that we are firmly determined to root all sin out of our lives and to center everything on Christ. Order towards others means, in the first place, being very refined in the way we live justice, justice in our words, in our judgments, and in our actions, because peace is the result of justice. And then, going beyond justice, there is mercy. On so many occasions, mercy moves us to help, to console, to be a support to those in need. In the words of Blessed Alvaro del Portillo, "Where justice is loved, where the dignity of the human person is respected, when one is not looking to one's own caprice or personal interest, but rather to serve God and others, that's where you'll find peace." Our Lord has entrusted to us the task of bringing peace to the world, starting by having peace in our own souls, and then in our family and in our place of work. We should work actively to bring animosity and conflict to an end, to create an atmosphere of cooperation and mutual understanding. Peace in a family, or in any group of people, is not simply the absence of arguments or quarrels. That could be a sign simply of mutual indifference. Peace means helping others in areas of personal or common interest. True peace means being concerned about others, being interested in their plans and projects, their joys and sorrows. Our Lord wants us to foster in our hearts ambitious longings for peace and harmony in this world of ours, which seems to lack that peace more and more, because at times men don't want to have God in their hearts. God wants us Christians to bring peace and joy with us wherever we go. Part 3. Sowers of Peace and Joy. Christ is our peace. For 20 centuries, he has been saying to us, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." He wants each of us to proclaim this to the whole world by the way we live, to the world in which we live, even if at times it may seem rather small. The life of the first Christians helped many to discover the meaning of their existence. They brought peace to their families and to the society in which they lived. In many inscriptions from that period, we find greetings with which they desire peace to others. This peace, which is from God, will be found on earth as long as there are men and women of good will. A significant part of our apostolate will be bringing serenity and joy to the people around us. The more anxiety and sadness we meet, the more urgent this apostolate of ours will be. Again from St. Jose Maria, "Every Christian has the duty to bring peace and joy to his surroundings on earth. This cheerful crusade of manliness will move even shriveled or rotten hearts and raise them to God. Even though in life they suffered trials and tribulations, as others do, every Christian should be remembered as a man or woman who gave an example of smiling self-sacrifice, a serene, cheerful person, because he or she lived as a child of God." Our resolution from today's prayer could be the following: "May no one read sadness or sorrow in your face when you spread in the world around you the sweet smell of your sacrifice. The children of God should always be sowers of peace and joy. This is possible only when we remember our divine filiation." Remembering that we are children of God will give us that solid peace, which is not disturbed by the ups and downs of our emotions or the events of the day. It will give us the serenity and steadiness which we need so much. To ensure that we are open and friendly to everyone, we need to stamp out any kind of antipathy or animosity. It would indicate that we are not very supernatural in our dealings with others. We also need to fight against any roughness or sharpness in our character, which could upset others and would indicate that we are not sufficiently mortified. We need to fight against selfishness, against softness, and against love of comfort. These are serious obstacles to friendship and to effectiveness in the apostolate. The sincere desire for peace, which our Lord has placed in our hearts, should urge us to do everything possible to avoid anything that might cause disunity or conflict. For example, being critical of others or having a negative attitude towards them, talking about people behind their backs, or complaining about them. Let us have recourse to Mary, our Mother, so that we may never lose our joy and our serenity. Again from St. Jose Maria, "Mary is the Queen of Peace, and thus the Church invokes her. So when your soul or your family are troubled, or things go wrong at work, in society, or between nations, cry out to her without ceasing. Call to her by this title, Regina Pacis, Ora Pro Nobis, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Have you at least tried it when you have lost your calm? You will be surprised at its immediate effect."
In Conversation with God is based on a 7-book series of the same name and is produced by Relevant Radio in an exclusive partnership with Scepter Publishers. For more information or to order your own copy of the book, log on to scepterpublishers.org. Scepter is spelled S-C-E-P-T-E-R. That's scepterpublishers.org. This podcast is protected under U.S. copyright laws and is made possible through the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click the Give button on this app right now or visit relevantradio.com. Be sure to join us again tomorrow as we continue the conversation.